Welcome to Intel on AI, a podcast series that brings you the latest on cutting-edge tech driving artificial intelligence in the enterprise today. And now your hosts, Derek Osborne and Emily Hudson.
Hello and welcome. My name is Derek Osborne.
And I'm Emily Hudson.
And this is another edition of Intel on AI podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Paul from Wrench AI.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about Wrench AI and your role within Wrench?
Yeah, so Wrench, spelled W-R-N-C-H. Wrench is a Montreal-based company. We've been around 5 years, and we're laser-focused on turning cameras into visual cortex. What I mean by that is in every intelligent human, or humans, animals, right? We have eyeballs. The photons are streaming into the eyeballs. The eyeballs convert those photons into electrical impulses, and the impulses go to the visual cortex in the back of your head, and that creates metadata. And that metadata then communicates to your brain about what's going on in the world. And so Wrench, we're building basically a digital cortex.
That's fascinating. Going from that metadata to reality and that metadata to an actual actionable thought, it's a tricky step. And I think that's where a lot of deep learning has been playing over the last nearly a decade now.
Yeah, it's a big, ambitious target. We want to work with any camera in the planet. But because that's so big, we're sort of focused on what we believe is the most important thing for computers to understand, and that's humans. So we're all about understanding humans, digitizing humans, understanding their behavior, so on and so forth.
So talk to me about the markerless motion capture that your company does. What's markerless mean?
So traditional motion capture, so the ability to digitize human movement. You've probably seen in the making up of movies and stuff where someone, she's in one of those black suits and she's got these white balls, dots all over her body. So that's a motion capture suit. The balls are tracker points. And so the cameras follow the balls that are attached to the person's body. Then you can digitize the movement. And once you digitize the movement, you can use that for all kinds of interesting applications, right? And nowadays in movies, if you want really fluid animation, you can get a human actor to act in the suit and then put that into your movie or your game. But there's a lot of really important applications of motion capture, of health analysis. So for example, the biomechanics that you can do analysis of how someone's running, and you can tell whether they're going to have a hip injury or not. So the notion of markerless is where there's no markers, there's no system. And we like to call it frictionless in the sense of there's just a webcam and you just walk up in your clothes, right? I'm wearing a Wrench hoodie right now. I can just walk up in front of the camera and automatically the camera goes to the deep learning model that's running on Intel hardware and it basically gives a 3D motion on the screen. So I can see my 3D motion capture right in real time.
Why did you pick Intel hardware?
The footprint, right? There's two things. There's just so many devices out there. With Intel, you can go from really, really small hardware. So we've got so many different projects going on where you have to build appliances that are at a consumer price point all the way up to heavy data centers. And with Intel, you cover the whole gamut. But your developer support is A1. And I come from a video game space, and I've been working with Intel over the history of my other companies. And if you're not in the business, you don't understand just how important it is to get all the developer tools, all the developer help. So, you know, Intel has great developer support and they have a thing called OpenVINO. It's a little technical, but it's really, really critical. So we do these deep learning models and we do them in CAFE and TensorFlow. And those models, they need to run on all the hardware. So the good thing about Intel, great, you got all this hardware, it's all over the place. But if we have to convert our model for every piece of hardware, it's intractable, right? We're 25, but I mean, that's never going to happen. So Intel has built this thing called OpenVINO, which basically allows our models to talk with any Intel hardware. And it's a lifesaver.
Back at CES in January, you guys did a demo with us that showed you doing image inferencing in real time. And so that image inferencing you're doing, is that being deployed in the real world now? Is that a product that's out there?
You know, when we did the CES keynote, we had it running on an Intel box and we were running at 450 frames a second. It blew my mind. And that was a lot of hard work by the OpenVINO people and our people at Wrench working together. But that really proved to me that this is a great platform for real-time AI. And so that particular project is still in production, but we took all of that good work and we put it into our core software development kit. So now you can go to wrench.ai and you can create a dev account, and any developer in the world can download our software and install it on Intel processors right today. So we've got a lot of different companies using it right now. None of them are public other than the CES announcement, but there's a lot of people using it. Another use case done with Intel that got public was for Computex. We wanted to do a health trainer system. So the idea is we work in entertainment, a lot of virtual characters, but the interesting thing with deep learning is the more data you get, the smarter the system gets and the higher fidelity it gets. So we're working on a concept right now of like a virtual trainer. So right now, U.S. athletes are using our system and their coaches to get really high-level feedback and analysis so that they can prepare for 2020. But then when it gets deployed next year, we're going to use this for better storytelling to say why one athlete ran faster than another, so on and so forth. There's another group, a famous news organization that we're working with, and they think that this kind of technology is going to transform sports journalism a lot like how the camera transforms sports journalism.
There's a TV show called Sports Science that goes through and will look at one play or one moment and spend a half hour breaking down the science of how that play happened. I think with your tool, it's almost like a dream where you could have that on almost every play. Say, this is how it happened. This is the velocity they pushed off with, and this is how they were able to make that play happen.
You're going to see this crazy convergence of our technology and game engines, because now the hardware can do all this stuff. Once you digitize, you can measure, right? And that's the basis of all science and everything. So at our company, we have this really great gym that's in the same building where professional athletes happen to train. We're from Canada, right? So it's hockey players and skiers that train at this place. When you have a personal trainer, that person's job is to watch you, watch your movement, and then use his knowledge to say, aha, Paul's not lifting the weight right, or so on and so forth. But not everyone can have a personal trainer, right? They're expensive, and maybe you're traveling like I travel. So we're working on this thing, and we shipped the first version at Computex, where basically we turn a laptop, so it's running on Intel laptop, where the webcam's right there. You stand in front of it, and then we did it with some bicep. You stand, you hold the bicep. It's tracking your body. Number one, it counts your reps, but more importantly, it watches you. And it's really cool, right? So if you swing your hips too much, it says, hey, you know, stabilize your core. It's a lot of fun. And I think you're going to see all these sort of mirrors that watch you to say, hey, you know, do this better, do this exercise better. It's a lot of fun.
Do you think you'd be able to transfer that also to the world of physical therapy as well?
So we're working with a company on that. And in that particular case, it's a lot of people like may not have laptops. And so the idea is just through a browser, this one physiotherapy company, they tell you to do an exercise. They record the video. It gets streamed up to the Wrench Cloud. Then from the Wrench Cloud, it goes on to Intel processors. We compute all the motion capture. And then that gets sent back to the physiotherapy company and says, hey, you know what? I've been noticing that you're moving wrong and stuff like that. And that's the power of what we call markerless motion capture. Once you get rid of the suits, once you get rid of the special cameras, basically we can digitize you, and then we can transfer you to either a human expert or an AI expert.
This is so interesting. This is a great example of how AI technology can really be democratized and help a lot of people in a lot of different ways that wouldn't necessarily have access to tools like personalized physical therapy.
It feels good. Helping people get healthy, that's important.
Another thought I had about your motion capture was in terms of autonomous driving. And it's one thing to predict where a road sign is. It's quite another to predict how a pedestrian is going to move or react and how their body will move in space. And so I was thinking about Wrench's technology in terms of that.
Yeah, it's early days, but this, we call it pedestrian intent. Put yourself sort of mentally, you're in your car, right, and you're driving, and you see a pedestrian. You're actually reading that pedestrian's body language to understand, is he going to cross the street or not? Is he on his phone? Is he paying attention? What is his intent? Because that's going to affect how you drive. It's a very hard problem, but very interesting problem to solve. So we've got some early work going on that with some large automotive companies.
Excellent. Would you be able to talk a little bit about the Intel AI Builders program and how you're working with them?
It's been fantastic. They support us on a lot of different levels. And again, I think that really comes from Intel's pedigree in the game space and the graphics space. All the things they learned about helping developers there, they've transferred over to AI because AI is so new. They give us access to all the latest hardware, all the tools. Like I said, OpenVINO and DL Boost. we can't go to market without that. It's a critical piece of software infrastructure for us. But I know when we're really doing something avant-garde, they've been able to give us access to engineers, work with us directly. And then on the product marketing, when we've had successes, they've been so great of help amplify our message. You know, we're 25 people. We're a relatively big company in the new field of AI, but still getting our message out is so important. So they've been helping us with blogs, telling our story, telling our customer success story. It's just been phenomenal.
Excellent. For listeners who would like to get more information about Wrench and what you're doing, where can they go for that?
They should just go to the website, wrench.ai, no E, remember lossless compression on the E, wrench.ai. But if anyone wants to reach out to me directly, it's just Paul, P-A-U-L, at wrench.ai, and I'd be happy to engage.
Thanks so much, Paul. I have to say, you might be only 5'6", but you sound at least 5'8" on this podcast.
I'll take it. Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure having you, Paul. I always had to restrain myself not to dig into all these different areas. I think every single one of those use cases, you could spend an hour or two discussing how that's going to change the world. So this is a really fascinating technology.
Thank you. And thank you guys for this opportunity.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. This is Emily Hudson.
And this is Derek Osborne.
And you're listening to Intel on AI.